Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 3, Episode 13. And happy Thanksgiving to all. And Andy and I are happy to be here after a huge win. We have a game tonight against the New York Islanders, or maybe the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. We don't even know. If they're still the Sound Tigers, I don't even know. Actually, that's a good question for Andy to answer. So let's get right into it. Andy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Just to avoid confusion, we are recording this the night before Thanksgiving, right before the Rangers drop the puck against the Islanders at the new UBS Arena, or as I think Butch Goring was calling it mistakenly, the USB Arena for a little bit during the first their home opener. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm a big fan of Thanksgiving. I look forward to summarily filling my belly with turkey and stuffing and all the gravy I can get my hands on tomorrow. So yeah, I'm really excited. The Rangers continue their winning ways. They face off against an Islander team that is in a skid and has been decimated due to injuries and COVID. And, you know, I mean, that's not so much the Rangers' problem, but so you can definitely say, if you look kind of around some of the other teams in the Metro, the Rangers have definitely been lucky in terms of man games loss. Obviously, it was a huge blow losing Blay for the year, but other teams have been way less fortunate in terms of just getting dinged by injuries, and obviously COVID throws a big wrinkle into everything. So, but again, yeah, we said this last game versus Buffalo. We said it was a must-win game, and they almost found a way to lose, or maybe we should say Alexander Georgiev almost found a way to lose that game, but they find a way to win, and with 0.4 seconds left in regulation, and man, I jumped off my couch and I slid on the floor. I couldn't believe it. So yeah, there's just something about this team this year, which is nice to say, because I haven't felt like that a Rangers team has been charmed in quite a while. You know, I think definitely not since probably the year they won the President's Trophy, where they were just finding, yeah, ways to win every game, even if they didn't play all that well. Although I like I said, other than the goaltending, I thought they played well. They haven't had a poor effort really in a while. So yeah, happy about that, and they continue to put the points up. But you know, even the schedule doesn't really do them any favors coming up here. They're going to have a lot of games in a compact time, and you know, between the game, an outmanned Islanders team is going to play low-key dirty and heavy and physical tonight to make up for, you know, maybe a skilled disparagement or a disproportionate amount of skill against them. But yeah, between that and the Bruins, who are no pushovers on Friday, especially a Friday afternoon, so they're going to have to be ready. And we'll see if Gallant... No, it's been hard for the Rangers to start these games on time, but so let's see if Gallant has them ready to play both games.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you said that you revert back to the year the Rangers won the President's Trophy and just how they found ways to win all season long and just were consistent in getting points and winning hockey games. And that's certainly the feel that you have right now. And, you know, I am you know, the pessimistic and the someone that's not going to get too high despite this unbelievable 11-4-3 start, Andy, I am going to err on the side of caution here with my hopes for this team. But you did bring up a solid point in that, you know, the Rangers really haven't laid a full egg in a game, right? They haven't played awful for a full 60 minutes, whether that be 40 minutes where they laid the egg and then came back and had a strong 20, like in Toronto, whether that be a slower first period or whether they came to play, you know, all three periods. I mean, we've seen that certainly against, you know, teams like Columbus and such like that. So, you know, looking back at their last game, a team where a team like the Buffalo Sabres, where you certainly could play down to them. And Buffalo's kind of a sneaky team where they do have some guys that, you know, are playing with a lot of pride. And obviously we know the Jack Eichel hysteria that hit, you know, Buffalo all offseason, and it, you know, trickled into this year. And now that he's gone, I think this team is ready to kind of move on. And I think there's a lot of players with chips on their shoulder. So, you know, that was a classic letdown game for the Rangers, but they found a way to win despite, you know, starting Georgie, who clearly is slowly, I shouldn't even say slowly, he played himself off the team realistically. And, you know, we can get, I really want to get your opinion on it with Gallant making the goalie change going into the third period, knowing that this game is tight and he's going to need, you know, every ounce of goaltending to, you know, get 2 points out of it. And he made the right change, I think, personally. But, you know, before we get into that, though, I want to applaud the Rangers for finding a way to win. And that was important. And getting 2 points was the ultimate goal. And you did it. And you knew, you know, every Ranger fan, I think, going into that game knew that there was a possibility of a letdown. So, you know, it kind of sets up too for a possible another letdown game tonight against the New York Islanders, who, you know, are missing 7 players. But before we get into that game, Andy, there are kind of a lot happened, especially in the third period into the end of the game, whether that be, you know, Gallant and Zibanejad bickering. I think we should definitely touch on that. And, you know, just I think the biggest thing of the evening that evening was certainly the goalie change going into the third. What were your thoughts on that? And, you know, how do you feel about Gallant's decision?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it was definitely the right decision because you could just tell, and I think Valiquette summed it up nicely in the post game, that Georgiev, he throws his hands up. It's a goalie that is, he's kind of in woe is me mode. Why does this keep happening to me? But he even mentions he makes himself small, and goalies have to fight through screens. They have to make themselves big and hope the puck hits them. But he sees the point. He sees the release, and he just kind of stays back. He doesn't take up any extra space. He doesn't stand up a little bit taller, and it goes right over his shoulder. And again, it's one thing. It would be one thing if he charged to the top of his crease and tried to cut down some angle or take up more space, but he didn't. He was a little too much in his head, and that's clear. And yeah, even Valiquette was kind of going in on Georgie, but not in like a mean spirit way, just on a like, it's, listen, it's tough. This is, he's going through a tough stretch, but you get paid the money to be the backup, and he's probably going to have to go to Hartford to get his head clear, figure something out. You know what I mean? Because it's just not going right for him right now. And that, listen, goaltending is an extremely hard position. Carter Hart 2 seasons ago had an excellent season. Last year, with everything that was going on with COVID, he had a horrendous season, and now he's having an excellent season again. So it's just it's a tough position. I think Rangers fans are definitely spoiled by the fact that they've had one of the men. You know, I think the key to Lundqvist's consistency is mentally his focus was that if he had a bad game, he would usually follow it up with a good one. Even if he had like a couple good games and a bad game or two, then he could get himself back on the horse a bit and just say it's a new game and it's a new chance to steal one here. And obviously we see that in Shesterkin too, is that he doesn't really let much faze him, and that's definitely the mark of a true starter in this league. But yeah, Georgiev's fighting it right now, which is unfortunate, but Gallant made the right choice, and it's right now with the way this team is going, I think losing 2 points to trying to help you, you want to do what you can to help Georgiev, but I think everyone would agree that the 2 points was more important, especially against a beatable opponent. You know what I mean? So they do what they have to do, and the Rangers respond in kind to kind of erase their deficits by absolutely dominating the third and final period and getting the go-ahead goal with 0.4 seconds left. And, you know, smart Adam Fox proving again he is the best defenseman in the league, and he's probably the smartest player in the league. What a last-minute pinch. And even, and listen, that goes for Lindgren, too, because he was creeping down as well. And that doesn't happen if he doesn't put himself in a good position. And Mika continues his trend of excellent passes and feeds this year. And it's just a magical moment. So I was obviously hype. Gallant continues to impress me with some of his decision-making. What he says, he tries to protect his goaltender the best he can in the post game. He downplays it. He's just like, you know, it's just coach's decision. You know, he's not going to say he wasn't good enough, where a lot of coaches cough, Alain Vigneault, are so quick to throw their players under the bus. He even if he's got to make a hard decision, he's going to try to protect them. And that goes, that's not even just Gurriev. If a guy has a rough game and he gets demoted or gets benched a little bit or gets lost a bit, he gets a chance to write it the next time. So, and I think now you have all these interviews with players and they're just saying how refreshing it is to know that if they make a mistake, like Kako keeps saying, is like, yeah, he kept me, even though I wasn't getting the points. It's not like, I don't feel like the second I make a mistake, I'm going down to the fourth line. And lo and behold, he's busting out of his slump. So, and he scores a beautiful goal, a goal scorer's goal in that game. So between Keandre rushing the puck up more and just asserting himself more offensively and Kako finding his confidence, and obviously Hedl looked like a world beater. He just obviously was gripping the stick a little too tight, but how many goals could he have had last night, you know, a couple nights ago? He has one. Kako feathers a backhand to Lafreniere, who then finds Hedl for a beautiful pass for an open cage, and I don't think he releases it quickly enough, and Skinner gets a stick on it, so he could have had a goal. So, yeah, smart decision by Gallant. It's unfortunate for Gurriev. I think at this, you probably have to send, I guess you can let him work it out up here if you want, but I think right now with the way Hartford's going and Kincaid's doing a good job down there, he should most likely, I think we should see Kincaid sooner rather than later, but we'll see. Who knows? I mean, if they keep, maybe he'll keep him up, but just keep, again, a short leash on him. But I'm not really, you know, we'll see how it plays out. We haven't heard any rumblings yet. No one's really asked him either. So,
yeah. And, you know, I can't fully bash Georgie because Tenorti was especially bad. I mean, that was one of the worst outings I've seen since,
yeah, he sucks.
Maybe Mark Stahl. That was bad. I mean,
I've watched a little bit of Mark Stahl in the Red Wings. He looks better than Tenorti does right now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost to the point where I don't even know how you put him out there. I mean, that was against the Buffalo team, and I know they have some scrappy guys and guys with chips on their shoulder that are going to have a lot of effort. But, I mean, how could you roll that guy out against pretty much any other NHL team? I mean, he's going to get eaten alive, Andy. I mean, again, he stinks. Like, that's
clearly,
like,
he's clearly not an NHL player at this point.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Do you think he, you know, gets sent down? I don't even know anything really about this guy's contract, other than he's making less than $1 million, thank God. And we have him, all next year too. So, not a good game by Tenorti. I mean, that was just awful.
No. And listen, I mean, Nils was taking, rushes with Nemeth again, so I assume he's back. Who knows? But wasn't pretty. Most likely, again, I think that was part of the mandate to be tougher, and they thought he could just play serviceable minutes. But with the, Nemeth hasn't been terrible, but he also hasn't been great. He's struggled at times too, and he struggled to insulate Nils, which was kind of why he was brought in. And I definitely don't blame Nils. It's like, you have to learn how to play the position. It's hard. Keandre just looks so much more confident. Him and Trouba are killing it right now.
Yep.
But even Keandre still has his gaffes. But you see, just as the confidence improves, that the gaffes are few and far between. Trouba had another monster game again. He is just, I don't know where he's skating faster. He's playing more offensively. And I think that's just a function of the whole team just kind of figuring the system out, and all of a sudden they're shooting the puck, you know, and they're getting their shots and they're getting danger chances. And, you know, I don't know. There seems to be a little bit of a luck involved, just because of either getting bailed out by goaltending or
at times, just, you know, getting somehow facing some of the easier teams or missing guys, but they're it looks, seems like they're slowly getting better and better, which is what you want. And so they're in a good spot. And even though they've had these hiccups, they haven't in the past, the Rangers teams the last few seasons, that these hiccups would basically derail their season or a game or lose them a game. But they're speed bumps, but they're getting over them and they're figuring out. And credit to Gallant for when there's a problem. You know, it's like, if this was David Quinn, Tenorti would be playing again. And he would say something like, oh, no, he was, listen, there was nothing he could do there. You know, got to give the other team credit. They get played, whatever. But Gallant's like, oh, nope, that was not working. So here we go. And maybe it was just to get Nils up to watch the game from the press box, just to say, look, you have more time to do this or this. He's got a great example of what not to do, or maybe why he shouldn't try to carry the puck on his backhand with his back up the ice. You know, if you're going to curl away, you have to have awareness. So, you know, who knows, but we'll see how he looks getting back in. Maybe he'll look more assertive. I'm not sure.
And I also have to applaud, I think, this one particular player, Andy. I thought he had the best 20 minutes as a New York Ranger, and that was Dryden Hunt. And I think Gallant thought the same thing. He got moved up in place of Gaudreau on the top line for a little bit, and he was just buzzing, you know, throwing pucks on net, kind of just being everywhere, causing chaos down the middle of the ice and the guts of the ice. And when you do that, you know, funny things happen, you know, bounces go your way. And I really thought, you know, Hunt had, you know, the best period as a New York Ranger. What were your thoughts on his play?
Yeah, listen, you know me, James. I'm not one to toot my own horn, but I did say in the preseason that I thought Hunt would be a sneaky, low-key good signing, and he might be this season's Colin Blackwell.
It's at least turning out to be that way.
Yeah, I mean, he's not having the same success in terms of the goal scoring, but in terms of his play on the ice, you can see that even with the fourth line, he's got a little bit more skill than, say, Rooney and Reeves do. But man, the kid, he can fly, and he just gets in there and he holds on to pucks. And he's not the biggest guy, but I mean, every time he's all out, and he keeps the puck hemmed in, so the team has possession when he's on the ice. So yeah, he's earned, and he just gives it his all every shift. And like you said, that's sets a good example for the team. And again, Gaudreau's clearly not working with Kreider and Zibanejad, so I'm glad they finally moved on from that experiment. You know what I mean? Although we expected him to play because they've been saying about he's going to get his chance, but then today in the pregame interviews with Gallant, he was saying some, I don't want to say cryptic, but some strange things like, you might be surprised by some of my lineup decisions tonight, so we might see a move. So who knows? Maybe I wouldn't be surprised if you see Hunt instead, maybe with Hedl and Lafreniere and Gauthier gets moved up or something. But still, he's getting a chance to play above the fourth line. So,
well, right now, the Daily Faceoff has Zibanejad, Kreider, and Hunt together.
Yeah, because that's
Panarin, Panarin, Strom, Kako, Lafreniere, Hedl, and the GOAT. And then you got Rooney, Gaudreau, and Reeves, which, honestly, putting Gaudreau on the fourth line, I know this is sound like people are going to be so upset. He makes such and such money. We brought him in here. Him playing on that fourth line, Reeves causes a lot of turnovers, and he's very physical. And, you know, Kevin Rooney works hard, can kind of find himself in little open spots. You know, if Gaudreau could just, you know, maybe, you know, win a loose puck or, you know, scoop the puck off of Ryan Reeves' turnover, they could start making plays. And maybe Gaudreau, you know, gets that fourth line on the board. And we spoke about that a couple of podcasts ago, although they're working hard, they haven't put the, you know, the numbers up.
Well, you know what it is? Rooney and Hunt are so balls to the wall out, and Reeves is not. He's slower. But Gaudreau is not as slow as Reeves, but not as fast as Rooney. So maybe, who knows, maybe his speed, his tempo might mesh well better as a link between the two, if that makes any sense in a weird way.
No, it does.
And again, we've said, I keep calling Gaudreau the late game assassin. Who's on the ice for that final goal? It's Zibanejad, Kreider, Gaudreau, even though he had been switched out for Hunt. Because again, it's the late dying seconds of the game, and the Rangers don't want to cough up a goal before getting the point, making it to overtime. So Gallant puts him out there because that's what he does. And again, he makes the smart right play. Him and Kreider go in. He, you know, I think Goudreau goes in first. He holds it on the wall. He's like, we're getting this point no matter what. And, you know, it'll kind of allows everyone to get set up and everyone to creep down. And, you know, it's because who knows if maybe if that's Hunt, he goes in really fast and he tries to blindly throw up the boards to try to at least get back to the point. And even if the Rangers don't concede a goal, it's they might not score that goal with 0.4 seconds left. So, yeah, that there's something to be said about the reason they keep saying they signed him is that they can slot Goudreau in anywhere. They can he can play center, he can play wing, he kills penalties, he can play minutes in the late game, but you can move him up, you can move him down. If you get lose a guy to an injury or has to go to the locker room or gets kicked out of a game, whatever. And that's the beauty of him. And he's not, I think obviously Rangers fans get hung up and fans of hockey in general, they get hung up as like, well, oh, it's like, you know, Mika needs this to score or Kreider. He's like, he needs a playmaker and Goudreau's not and can't whatever. But coaches, they care about, are they playing in the other team's end? And as long as we are doing that more consistently, it's not in our end and we have a better chance to win. So, and in that he succeeds in that sense. And it's like a lot of maybe, I don't want to say old school, but it's, you know, it might sometimes we kind of overthink these things and Gallant doesn't. And he's just like, this is what I want. And we're playing consistently. And lo and behold, it just kind of the tide of the whole team is moving in the right direction. And the team keeps winning. So that's it is what it is, you know. So, yeah, you can say what you want about is Goudreau overpaid? Yeah, probably. They paid for the privilege of his pedigree. But I'll be damned if having players like him and Reeves don't make this team feel different and walk taller. Right? It's kind of hard to explain, right? You know, there are two players that are better on paper, but at the same time, it's like they just the pedigree kind of comes with them and you kind of feel it and you just it just yeah, it's kind of an unexplainable thing, but it's hockey. So, you know.
Yeah. And you look at, you know, games like the Buffalo Sabres. How many games did the Rangers lose last year that kind of had that, you know, same vibe, whether that, you know, they lost in overtime or they blew a lead late and they eventually lost the game. It's just, it's kind of refreshing that the Rangers are winning these games. Now, I told you that I'm playing the role of the pessimist, so I'm never going to get too high on this team that I can't. So if that bothers anybody out there, well, I'm sorry. But as soon as I start feeling good about this team, I can tell you they're going to turn back into the pumpkin that, you know, deep inside, I think I know they really are.
The NHL season is underway and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. And DraftKings is giving customers free shots at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So, another thing I wanted to talk about, Andy, and, you know, happened at the end of the game was Gallant and Zibanejad bickering back and forth. Is it safe to say that, you know, Drury is going to be shipping Zibanejad out any day now?
Wait, say
no, like... no, I'm messing with you. No, like, no. Obviously, the for people that don't know or maybe didn't watch the very end of the game, but Zibanejad and Gallant got into a little argument at the end.
Yeah, so and, yeah, because basically, as they were on that final play, as they were making their way up to the ice,
he got interfered with.
He
swallowed the whistle.
They swallowed the whistle as Mika. Maybe I don't know if they felt Mika purposely kind of skated in the way, but the stick came around and Mika launched in the air and got upended. Obviously, the guard and went, oh, like kind of like what? Like, where's the call? So even after the Rangers score with 0.4 seconds, and Mika even stops thinking he's going to get the call, it doesn't happen. That's when he moves down the ice, and obviously they get the goal. But as they're celebrating their, the dying, it was 0.4 seconds. So literally they take a face off and they win the game. Their whole team goes to celebrate, and Mika's giving it to the refs. And Gallant smartly gets on him saying, you know, we just won. The game is over. Don't yell at the refs. Come on. Like, it's like you're going to make an enemy out of a referee that you might see down the road. Like, listen, it's one of those things. Yeah, obviously players and argue with refs all the time. That's just Gallant being the level headed one, being like, come on. And they even had a laugh about it. Obviously, there's memes going around about, you know, when you score the game winning goal, but the coach has over, you know, nine and a half or something.
Yeah.
And Mika even liked it on social media, and they were both joking about it. So it obviously was just, and listen, hey, whatever, players are competitive. So it is what it is. That's what you want. Things could always be improved. Obviously the second it happened, everyone was like, you know, obviously fans who aren't happy that Mika isn't scoring on pace to score a million goals again are getting it like, oh, you know, Gallant finally was telling Mika he was lucky and all this dumb stuff you're reading on the internet. And you're like, Jesus, we can, like, you know, go outside. I don't know what else to tell you. These fans just wish casting what was just ultimately a nothing burger of a situation. But it was interesting to see it in the moment, because even Sam's like, oh, I don't know what this is about. I guess we'll find out later, you know. But between just, you know, the exuberation on Lindgren's face and just the whole team, and then to see that going down, it was such a what is happening. That whole game, honestly, was a what is happening. And Sam even says, as they score four goals in whatever minutes, he goes, what is happening?
Yeah. You know? It was weird, and it was one of those games where you felt like you can hear a pin drop, like, just during the middle of it. I know it was such a boring start to the game, and, you know, those games are tough. You know, it was the middle of the week. You're playing the Buffalo Sabres. I don't know if there was a bigger buzz in the building, but oh my God, that, you know, that span of all those goals, I think, certainly got people back into it. And it kind of lit a spark under the Rangers' tushes. So, you know, they got going, which was good. And, you know, the building was rocking after Lindgren scores the winning goal. And just the whole roller coaster of emotions with that game. Hopefully carries over into tonight, which is, you know, one of the bigger games of the year, the Rangers versus the New York Islanders. You know, the first game for the Rangers at their new stadium. And, you know, they're playing against a team, Andy. I mean, look at this. They have Pulock out, Bailey out, Anders Lee out, Brock Nelson out, Pelech out, Green out, you know, Kiefer Bellows out, Zdeno Chara out. The whole thing is just a complete, you know, crap show. And you look at their lineup, though. Their lineup isn't really that bad, though. Like, you know, again, they have a good fourth line with, you know, Martin, Cizikas, and Clutterbuck. You know, obviously, they took a huge step back from what they were last year. But, you know, Kyle Palmieri playing on the third line. You got Wahlstrom and, you know, Pageau on the second line. And Barzal obviously being the center of the first line with Parise and Panic. And, you know, this team, if you look at this lineup, and I know they have a ton of injuries and they might be a little bit softer on the back end, but this is a team that can absolutely steal a game from you if you're not ready to play. And I would imagine that Trotz is going to have this team fully prepared with a game plan to counter anything that the Rangers are going to throw at them.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I could definitely see an embarrassing Rangers loss where they basically lose to the Bridgeport Sound Tigers tonight. To your credit, I mean, if losing Zdeno Chara, some might say addition by subtraction, you know, like, I don't know. So they've needed an influx of younger guys with skill. So I guess the question is, I don't know. Is it going to be enough to overcome the Rangers that were pretty much fully healthy? Obviously they're missing Blay, but they have their lines are all kind, you know, their second line and their third line are going right now, and their first line might get an infusion from either a Gauthier or a Hunt, so we'll see. That's the thing, is law of averages. The Rangers keep winning and the Islanders keep losing. Eventually one, water, you know, one's going to win and one's going to lose.
Yeah,
water will find level. So, and this, you know, the Islanders are at home. They haven't won in their building yet. And obviously that's, you put that on the board, is that we need to win at home and we're out man. So they're going to play with their backs up against the wall. So yeah, it's, I think if it gets, I think no matter what, they're going to look to take a piece out of the Rangers, either winning the game or they're just going to on their go down swing, and it's going to be, it's going to be chippy and pretty brutal. So I think, I hope Reeves and, Trouba and anyone else who's willing is already, cause it's, I don't think, yeah, it's definitely, cause I think, you know, if Ross Johnson in the lineup for them?
I don't, let me hold on 1 second. It doesn't, no, he's not.
Well, I was going to say good, because when they were getting blown out by the Panthers, Johnson put the knee on Barkov, who is still out, you know, for he's week to week. So because they were getting blown out, and that's, you know, you don't want any of that. So, you know, that's the last thing we need is a troglodyte like that guy going after one of our talented young players. So, yeah, I mean, again, they have to be ready, because either way, it's going to be tough, you know, so. Hopefully they're up to the task.
Yeah, and you know what I'm hoping for? You know what my goal is this game, Andy? Like, and I know, like, we won't talk, like, you know, about predictions and stuff like that, because obviously people are listening to this podcast after the game. So, you know, whether the Rangers won or lost, it doesn't really matter. What I want to see out of this game, Andy, is that there's been a player that's been out of the New York Rangers lineup for quite some time now. And, you know, I think it's really time for him to step up. And what better game for him to step up than playing your, you know, the interstate rival, the New York Islanders, a game that no matter what, where you are in the standings, whether you're, you know, at the top or the bottom, it doesn't really matter. These are the games that you really want to win if you're a New York Rangers or a New York Islanders fan. You know, Lafreniere really needs to step up this game. Like, if he can just pocket two goals and get us a win, a nice 4-1 win, right? A comfortable 4-1 win where we feel like we're rolling through Thanksgiving. You know how good Thanksgiving will feel if you get a goal from Kako and you get two from Lafreniere and you're like, you know what? Maybe the Rangers are building something. You know, maybe these kids are kind of turning the corner. I feel a little bit confident with Kako right now. I'm a little scared that I'm this like cocky that Kako's turning it around. And, you know, he's been just absolutely on fire, and he knows how to score goals. If you watch him play, just him around the net, you know, once he gets that touch, you feel so confident when he has a little lane, you know, in the offensive zone to create something for himself. You just, you know, now you see it. Now, this is what I'm waiting for with Lafreniere, Andy. So, you know, please tell me that, you know, this is a prime game for Lafreniere to maybe take advantage of a slower, beaten down New York Islanders team.
You know, maybe, but I guess for me personally, I kind of have Lafreniere on a different track than Kako. I think with Lafreniere, I was just looking for him to start actually playing better and being noticeable. And I think he's kind of rebuilding his game right now, if that makes any sense. He's moving his legs a lot more. He's getting in on the forecheck. I mean, listen, he should have had a surefire, beautiful assist on that Hedl pass the other night. And I think he made another one to the slot that was pretty good, but both kind of got fanned on. But his line was creating, and he was a big part of that. And he makes smart outlets, and he's getting in on pucks. So I'm happy with where he's playing right now. Obviously, you can then argue, well, it's not first overall caliber play, but yeah. But I think aren't we kind of past that point where, or at least past the illusion that he's going to just one day figure out how to apply everything that made him a first overall pick, you know, from day one, like into the NHL seamlessly. But that being said, I've watched. You know, we've kind of watched Kako, who was literally in his first season, was non-effective, I guess you could say. He scored some goals in tight by just already being there with soft hands, but, you know, he couldn't do what he did in Finland. It was different. It was just, and that's kind of where Lafreniere is at. He was scoring goals by being in prime positions at the right place, right time, because he's got hockey sense and he's smart. But when it comes to advancing the puck towards the net or scoring goal scorers goals, you know, ones that aren't just the nose for the net type right place, right time goals. Yeah, he's struggled. So, but I've liked what I've seen from him. He's creating more. So, and again, I just want to see him just create. Even if he has I would rather him have, instead of scoring a goal that's like one play and then be pedestrian the rest of the play, I would rather have him create all game and maybe not get rewarded for it. Because at least if I think if he can build upon that, then you will see the player, I think, that Rangers fans feels they were promised down the line. But yeah, obviously this would be a great game venue, especially with maybe you could argue with the amount of players that are out and a little bit easier competition. We saw what Lafreniere and Kako were able to do in the preseason. Not that this will have preseason intensity. It'll definitely be ratcheted up, but in terms of maybe the quality of some of the competition they're facing, especially if they're going to play the fourth line is playing as their third line now, you know, that's probably they're going to be their matchup line. So if they can avoid getting run over by, you know, Martin Cizikas and Clutterbuck, they have definitely more skill than them. So they can probably, get one in behind them.
Yeah, you know, and I'm just excited. And you know, I think the Rangers ultimately come out and win. I hope so. It will absolutely ruin my Thanksgiving. But, you know, the Rangers bounce right back with a 1 p.m. game on Friday against the Boston Bruins. You know, obviously Boston is another one of those teams that has kind of had a slower start to the season, as you know, obviously a little bit different than past seasons where they've always kind of been at the top of the standings. You don't really know what they are, but they're one of those teams that just the experience alone, they can take advantage of you if you're not, you know, coming out ready to play. And, you know, I hope the Rangers can find a way to, you know, counter that and just be competitive in that game. You know, I really don't want to see a slow start. Or, you know, a third period where, you were up by a goal and you totally collapse and they just, you know, that top line of theirs just takes advantage and wins the game at the end in a heartbreaking fashion. Just be competitive, you know, even if you lose 3-2, just be in the game. I don't want to see, you know, complete mental lapses or just a lack of energy. I know it's a 1 p.m. game. I think it's our first 1 p.m. game of the season. We never do well in those games. And, you know, I just really wish the Rangers can be one of those teams that wins those day games, because you know what? It kind of ruins your entire night if they don't. So, you know, Andy, any thoughts, you know, about that Boston game?
Not, it's weird because the Bruins are obviously not what they were last season. They don't have Rask. Swayman is kind of have their goaltending's giving them a little bit of trouble. And yeah, obviously losing, Jesus, his name escapes me right now. Basically retiring and going back to back overseas. Krejci, David Krejci.
Yeah, yeah.
Right before the season was going to start, hurts them because Charlie Coyle is a lot of things, but a second line center. I don't think so. Probably a good third line center, but yeah. So they're obviously, when the perfection line's not out there, they've had trouble scoring goals. Although it's been a little bit better as of late, and they're still a good team. And they, like I said, they still have one of the best lines in hockey, if not the best. So, and yeah, they still have McAvoy, who's an excellent shutdown defender. So yeah, they're still a dangerous team. So, and they're one of those teams that even when they're a little bit undermanned, they still have pride and the expectations of that the rep, and they have a great coach in Cassidy. So that will be a test for sure. And if the Rangers beat an undermanned Islanders team tonight, and then they feel good about themselves. They're close. They get to have Thanksgiving tomorrow with their families, and then they don't have to travel too far for Thanksgiving. I could see them showing up to that game with bellies full of, I guess from eating too much turkey and what do you call it that makes you tired?
The tryptophan.
All hopped up on, you know, gravy and tryptophan and turkey and just laying an absolute stinker. But we'll see. You know, we got Igor in net tonight, which I think is the right call. And I kind of like that Gallant's done that, where it's like you think that he's going to give, like, you see, like, oh, that'll be an easier start, so he'll give it to Georgiev, and that'll be a harder start. But sometimes he's like, I'm going to guarantee we get these 2 points by putting Igor in that. You know what I mean?
And you know Igor does deserve to play against some of the lesser competition. I mean, I not to say that, you know, the NHL is some, you know, peewee hockey league, but, you know, Igor, you know, it's not fair that just because he is the better goalie that he has to always go up against, you know, the league's tougher teams. Like, obviously, you want him playing in those games, so, you know, obviously to give us a chance. But, you know, the lesser teams on the schedule, you know, the Buffalo Sabres, the, you know, Senators, and, you know, have, you know, Seattle and stuff like that, you know, he deserves to play those games too. You know, those are feel good games. Those are games that, you know, he can maybe build his career off of, you know, maybe getting 10 shutouts in a season. You know, that's, you know, those are things that, you know, he's going to want to accomplish personally. And, you know, if he's going up against you know, the Carolina Hurricanes and Capitals and the Panthers every night, you know, he's never going to get those or the opportunities to really pad some stats. So, you know, not that the Rangers are really in a position to be putting guys out there to pad stats. You know, we just need to win hockey games and make the playoffs. So, Andy, do you have anything else? I feel like we covered a lot. You know, I know there's a lot of trade talks going on. Our boy JT Miller looks like he's probably going to be on the move pretty soon. Doubtful that it's a New York Rangers sweater, but, you know, Minnesota has taken some interest and, you know, yeah, a lot of rumbling so far, especially for Vancouver looking to kind of maybe clean house a little bit.
Yeah, obviously, potentially. I wouldn't be surprised if they move one of Miller or Besser. You know, despite what fans might think, I don't think Pettersson's going anywhere. You know, and obviously they're not going to move Quinn Hughes, but yeah, you know, I could definitely see one of those two guys going somewhere. But, you know, it's weird because if that GM's actually trying to save his job, I don't see why he would want to move them. You know, he has been absolutely horrendous for them. And I, you know, you could fire Travis Green if you want, but that doesn't really, I don't know if that'll solve it. It's clearly a construction issue. I don't know why anyone thought that decor was going to be. I think if people knew they wouldn't be amazing, but they thought they would at least be a cusp team or a bubble team, not as poor as they've been. But
the problem is if you move Markstrom, who had an amazing year with them, and you know, you don't really solve the goaltending problem. And now you look at Markstrom and you look how good he's been.
Oh yeah,
it's just like a head scratcher. It's like, yeah. Who else did you have? Like, who else did you have in mind that you thought was going to be a step up in that, you know, in that department?
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, I don't know how Holtby's doing. Is he still in Dallas? Is Holtby in Dallas right now?
I believe so, but wasn't he playing backup?
And
Dallas is nothing to write home about either.
No, although they seem to be finding their footing a little bit recently. But yeah, I mean, Jim Benning, I don't know, is he trying to save his job or is he trying to do things the right way, which ultimately doesn't help him in the short term? That's a team that's, they have tough decisions to make. And I think Friedman was saying today is that he's like, that all he hears out of Vancouver is that they're afraid to do something that will haunt them for the next 10 years. Is like, you probably did that when you signed Oliver Ekman-Larsson, you know, as thinking he was anything close to what he used to be and gave him the amount of money that he, you know, or at least the amount of money paying that contract. Also, yeah. I was just scrolling through our timeline and I found a post from January 24th of last year. And I'm pretty sure you tweeted this and it says, I will post this as much as I want, although tonight wasn't Quinn's fault. And it's the meme with, Wolverine from the X-Men laying down in the bed looking at a picture frame, and Gerard Gallant is in that picture frame. So it was very prescient of you to post that.
Well, sometimes dreams do come true, Andy. So,
that's true. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Now I need to post a Stanley Cup in our future. And hopefully that one will come true as well. Oh, by the way, Holtby has played the most games for the Dallas Stars, and he's 2-4 with a 2.54 goals against average. So, kind of just a blah season for him so far. And, you know, obviously Dallas is not the team they once were. So maybe the GM needs to call their all-stars out once again to get that team fired up and going. So anything else, Andy?
I guess before we call it here, there is one important thing we need to talk about. Because we haven't really talked about it, and it's been a real rough week for jerseys in the NHL and in hockey general.
Yes.
This recently, so I know we don't have a lot of time here, but just listen. Everyone has by now has seen that horrendous Devils third jersey designed by Martin Brodeur. I mean, it's kind of low hanging fruit almost at this point, because everyone has chimed in on it. It's awful. It's, you don't know how anyone would know it was a good idea. And then people just taking 2 seconds to Photoshop it to make it look 10 times better by just getting rid of the little jersey, you know, and just putting either just the Devils logo, which it pains me to say it is a great logo. You just put a big red, like no outline blot, like you make it a little bit darker. Devil's logo, put it on a black jersey with red, dark red bars on it instead of white, and it looks like an awesome effing jersey. Like, it's really not that hard. Like, I could have done it, and that's not, and I'm not, you know, I'm not some design savant. It's just, it's easy. It just all takes is someone to say, this is bad. And then Team USA comes out with their jersey, and it looks like a, I don't know, it looks like a men's cycling, like, compression shirt. It looks bad for the Olympics. And then Team Canada has their jersey that looks like, Greg Wyshynski points out, looks like a turkey's butthole. Like, I just don't know what is going on. You know, what's in the air that this is happening? That just at no point. The only good jersey I've seen recently is the Knicks unveiled their city jerseys, the black and orange, that looked awesome last night. And the Rangers were there, by the way. I think they showed a picture and video of, I think it was Rooney, Kako, Julian Gauthier, Artemi Panarin, and Igor all hanging out. So that was pretty cool. And then I think the Metropolitan Riveters last week unveiled their jersey, which looks awesome. It's just, but, you know, that's not two. Yeah, that's two out of a possible five or six. And it just didn't look great. I don't get it.
Yeah, I like all the women's jerseys. I think every single team has actually a pretty cool, unique concept. The only one I think I don't like is Toronto, which is...
Oh, the six, you know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, not for me. But, yeah, the Devils jersey, you know, first off, I mean, they didn't, like, steal it, but it was, like, it's so similar to Chicago that it's, like, it's silly. Like, you can't make it that similar. I mean, it looks almost exactly the same except for the logo in the middle, obviously. And, you know, jersey, really, that's what you're going to write on it. Like, that's just silly. And I don't care what it's supposed to represent or anything like that. Like, a trash jersey is a trash jersey. And, you know, I guess it's fitting for the Devils. And, you know, the USA ones, I said, like, were they like a long sleeve soccer jersey? Like, I don't know what the heck they were going for. It shouldn't be this difficult. And, you know, you look at the America's colors are red, white, and blue. The Devil's colors are red, black, and white. Those are such easy color, you know, colors to kind of bring together a really cool concept and a really cool, you know, idea for a jersey that I really do scratch my head at some of the decision making for some of these people that get to create these jerseys. But you know, it's Martin Brodeur, and I'm glad they're garbage, and, you know, nothing's more fitting than, you know, I'm still enjoying all the memes, you know, slew foot, you know, jersey, hat, you know, arena. I love all the memes that, you know, probably mostly Ranger fans are creating to mock the Devils, but, you know, overall, it's been a pretty good internet day in terms of Devil's mockery.
Oh, yeah. And listen, I mean, it's too late. The jersey's leaked. Everyone started shitting on them immediately. They've obviously tried to lean into it by saying, like, we might release this and it's a hat that says hat on it. You know, who knows? Maybe they'll take it like the Canes Bunch of Jerks thing and try to meme it up, and then it becomes popular. Because if everyone remembers when the Flyers announced Gritty, everyone thought he looked like shit. He was horrible. And literally now, Gritty is awesome. It's the only thing I like about the Philadelphia Flyers, I'll tell you that much. But it's just one of those things where, you know, sometimes you have to lean into it and the hatred. And, you know, who knows? Something new is born from the discourse around it. So, yes. So we'll see. Yeah, like I said, tough week for jerseys all around. I guess as we sign off here, the last thing I want to ask you is, and I think we do this every year on our Thanksgiving episode, is, James, what food are you most looking forward to eating tomorrow?
You know, old me would have said stuffing or mashed potatoes, and I mixed the corn in and stuff like that. Yeah. But You know what I'm going to try to do this year, Andy, to kind of, you know, really appreciate Thanksgiving? I really want to enjoy the turkey this year. So I'm most looking forward to a good turkey. I want to enjoy it. I know turkey kind of gets trashed on a little bit, and it's obviously a little inferior to the side dishes. But, you know, for me, I'm going to focus on the turkey. I really want to enjoy it. So, you know, I'm going turkey all the way this year.
I actually was going to say something similar, so I'm glad, happy, because I am someone who did not, I was late to the, I was an anti-cranberry man for so long.
Oh.
And usually it was the canned, you know, which some people love. They swear by it.
I'm a big can guy. I like the can.
Yeah, I had that last year, which was good because it was out and I tried it. But then also someone brought, I forget who it was, brought actual like cranberry, like preserves, like good cranberry or like organic, whatever you want to say, like from a farmer's market.
Yep.
And oh my Lanta, it was good. It was so good. And I was like, okay, this I get, because listen, I mean, if you get the dark meat, you're good with the turkey, but obviously sometimes you get that prime breast cut, which is good, but dry. It's, you know, it's prime breast cut of turkey. But yeah, with a little bit of cranberry and a little bit of gravy and a little bit of mashed potato residue on it, oh my God, it's good, you know. And especially later, you know, you save the leftovers, you make the open-faced turkey sandwiches the next day, the Thanksgiving sandwich, which is
absolutely
a staple. So, yeah, so again, much like you, James, I always say the stuffing and the mashed potatoes are my favorite. Obviously, I love stuffing, right, fresh out of the bird. But I am going to try to pay more attention to the turkey, really load up on the tryptophan. I'm going to make sure the cranberry ride shotgun with it. And yeah, I'm going to be more conscious about how I'm constructing my plate this year with giving more deference to the turkey, because obviously I'm a sides guy. But yeah, I think sometimes you forget what the beauty that's right in front of you, if you know, if you miss it, if you're not looking at the plate the right way. So that's what I'm going to do. So yeah, I guess we'll end it on that. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We'll see you on Monday. Hopefully the Rangers have a lot to be thankful for in terms of the standings right now when they're playing on the ice and just getting better every game. And hopefully they're thankful for 4 points they can collect over the weekend. So, but here's Will. And so happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and we'll see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.